This October, Tanger invites you to shop pink and save lives. Your donation of $10 or more to the Breast Cancer Research Foundation helps fuel innovative research that brings us closer to a cure. It also unlocks exclusive savings from brands like Coach, Crocs, Columbia Factory Store, and more to shop all month long. Join us as we mark 30 years of advancing research and empowering hope. Donate and access your exclusive savings today at Tanger.com.
Medical Mutual wants to remind you it's almost time for Medicare's annual enrollment period. As a trusted health insurer for more than 90 years, Medical Mutual is here to help you find better Medicare benefits. Be confident you're getting the most from your Medicare Advantage plan. Schedule your free Medicare plan review today at medmutual.com/review. Medical Mutual, Ohio's hometown Medicare insurer.
This episode is proudly brought to you by California Cryobank. Use code LOVEISLOVE for a free level 2 subscription to their donor catalog.
The Queer Family Podcast. Love is love is love on the Queer Family Podcast. Love is love is love on the Queer Family Podcast. Love is love on the Queer Family Podcast. Love is love.
And I'm here to help you through the process as your loving queer fairy guide. Can we call me that?
Yes, let's call you that. And then Jason can maybe add some fairy wings behind you.
Oh my God. We can make a graphic. We'll have a whole social media campaign going with me just fluttering behind you. Too bad we're not in the same areas in the world. Welcome, 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 y'all, to the Queer Family Podcast, the show all about family, but with gay. I'm Jamie. I am your gay host, and this is the show that celebrates, highlights, uplifts, and normalizes LGBTQIA+ families in all of our beautiful identities. And ooh, folks, we are speaking with some very special, special people in today's episode. It is none other than the one and only Nicole. Yes, folks. Yes, Nicole of the Roll That Tape, Nicole, of my fabulous, fantabulous assistant of 2 years, Nicole, and Nicole's beautiful wife, Shannon. And the reason we are talking with them, it's not only because they're fabulous people and I love them to death, it's also because the two of them are still not sure, even after Nicole has worked with me on this here little show about queer families and queer family building for 2 years, they're still not sure if they want to bring children into the world or if they want to have kids or if they want to become parents. And of course, since they're not sure if they want to do that, they're also not sure how they would go about doing it if they did. So they've got a lot of unanswered questions floating around in their heads. And I thought, hey, you know what? In true fashion, being the podcast host who's always thinking of trying to think of new ideas, hey, let's do a little mini series where we explore the many ways in which the two of you with two uteruses could possibly go about building a family. Because as you know, when it comes to queer family building, there are a lot of ways that we can do it. So in this little episode here, we're going to get to know Nicole and Shannon and kind of their story together. And then we're going to dive deep into what the things are that are holding them back from taking the plunge into parenthood. And then also what the various ways in which they can. And then in the episodes to follow, we're going to speak with different folks from different organizations that help us queer folks on our paths to parenthood. We are talking with a known and big sperm bank about the goods and the bads of using a big and known sperm bank. We will also be talking with an organization that helps folks find known donors out there in the world, which is a really cool conversation. We're also talking with an organization who helps folks with fertility financial support, which is really cool. And we're talking with an organization who helps folks find money towards an adoption route. So we are talking with so many different experts in the field that go along with queer family building in the next few episodes. And I'm titling this, Nicole and Shannon Want a Baby, or Do They? And of course, they're talking with me, who sometimes I'm a big advocate of having kids, and sometimes I'm definitely not when I talk about my kids and how crazy they're making me. So it's a great one. And actually, in parenting news right now, Here's one of them. Here we go. So as y'all know, my 10-year-old just started sixth grade, which is middle school, which means different school, a lot more grown up place to be. And one of her first assignments was to write a letter to a fellow student about special things about yourselves, which they were going to like share in the first week with another student. So she's sitting there and she's saying, I don't have anything to write. I don't have anything special about me. I don't have anything fun to write. And of course, me, you know, being the ever queer parent who was always advocating for our families, I'm like, what do you mean you don't have anything special? I mean, I can name one right off the top of my head. She, of course, knows exactly where I'm going. And she's like, Mom, I don't want that to be the first thing people learn about me. I want them to get to know me first. And that was like a big aha moment for me, because I'm like, you know, I'm out there advocating and like, two mom families are the best, queer families rock, you know, and I'm shoving down like inclusion and how cool we are down my kids' throats. And then, you know, sometimes our kids don't want that or need that. So sometimes I have to remember, ooh, take a step back. She's her own person and she's going to go about the world the way she goes about it. So that's parenting for you. It's hard. I don't know if you could call that a reason to have kids or a reason not to have kids, because it was a rude awakening and it does jar you a bit. And it's like, whew. At the same time, it's a really deep realization. And I would never have come to that realization had I not had this kiddo who has her own mind, who likes to speak up and do her own thing. And ooh, it's complicated. So I don't know. Nicole and Shannon, take that as you will. In other parenting news, Anne and I are really proud of ourselves. We really got our lesbians on, and we finally, the kids have a really big room. They've had a shared room, and now that Rose is in sixth grade, we thought, all right, it's time. Let's make a separate room. So we built, like, we DIY'd, like, a wall from, like, some closets we had, some portable closets in there. I feel like we really lesbianed it up. We did a really good job with it, and it feels cool. So I'll share some pictures at some point when it's finally finished. We're still doing final touches. So that happened, and that's like a good parenting moment. But a lot of times, they're not good parenting moments. Am I right? Anyway, okay. This is going to be a really great little mini series. I'm excited to share it with you. And let's go ahead and roll that tape. Helen Beulah Gerson. I'm not going to ask Nicole to roll it because Nicole's in it. So Helen Beulah Gerson, they love this episode too. It's really great. Please roll that tape. Thank you so much.
Queer Family Podcast, love is love.
Hi, Nicole and Shannon.
Hi, Jamie.
Hello. This is fun. This is exciting. Y'all at home know Nicole because Nicole rolls that tape.
I'm the only one besides you and Gerson
who actually rolled the tape. Yeah, there's no Helen and Beulah. So Nicole is my right-hand human who helps me with everything. And Shannon is Nicole's beautiful wife. And I am so excited to have you two here because y'all at home are in for a very big treat. Am I right, ladies? Am I right?
Yes.
Shannon's yes. Like, I don't know. I don't know what to make of this right now. Okay, we are doing a whole little mini series. I'm calling it a little mini series because all of you at home might know this, but I have been hounding Nicole about if she and Shannon are going to have kids or not, like ever since I met Nicole. And how long ago did I meet you?
2 years.
Holy moly. So for 2 years. So I met Nicole 2 years ago and Nicole was like, I want to work on the show. I love the show. I love what you do. I love the mission. And I'm like, great. Do you have kids? I don't have kids. I don't know if I want kids. And I was like, okay. Nicole's like, I'm married to my wife and we just don't know. And she's like, and this is part of the reason why, you know, I've been listening to the show and I'm trying to figure it out. And now we are 2 years later and we're still trying to figure it out.
And I keep telling Shannon, my ovaries are getting dusty. And then she says, in 10 more years.
So this is it. So this is the stuff though. This is like, you're not alone. You're not the only ones who are just really not, especially I feel like your generation. You're not the only ones in your generation who are just like, I don't know, do we want to bring another person into this world for so many different reasons? And then also, you know, like, do we have what we need to do it? And, you know, like, I feel like your generation, what generation are you? Gen Z?
Millennial.
Millennial. I feel like your generation really thinks through things, not like mine that's Gen X who's like, oh yeah, we just do it and then we figure it out after. I feel like your generation really thinks it through. So you're still thinking this through and I'm here to push you along because I'm Gen X and I say jump in. So what we're doing in this little mini series is we are interviewing all these different folks that help in all the different many ways that two folks with uteruses, uteri, can create their families. So we have interviews lined up for you all to listen to with Nicole and Shannon, with an adoption agency. Nicole, you help me out.
Adoption support agency.
Right. Yep. A known donor search agency.
Yes. Yeah.
A sperm bank, a very big recognized sperm bank that we know and love, or that I love because they made my babies, California Cryo Bank. We have an interview with who else?
Fertility support specialists.
It's like financial aid specialists. What else? I feel like there's more.
And we're hoping and most likely we'll interview someone that is child free.
Right. Because we have to get that perspective. Mm-hmm. And in this episode today, we're going to see where you're at. And then I'm going to explain to you all the ways and why it's so freaking hard. And maybe you shouldn't do it. I'm just kidding. That's not what this one's supposed to be. This one's supposed to be, you know, like the joys of being a parent, but with gay. And there are many joys to it, but this is just our initial meeting of Nicole and Shannon and why it's taking y'all so freaking long to decide.
It is taking us really long.
I don't find 2 years to be a long time.
It's not. I'm just razzing you, as the old people say.
But it's been 5, 6 years and counting since we met.
When we met, you didn't want kids.
That's true. So you have a lot of questions to ask us.
Yeah.
Okay, so here we go. Let's take it back to Nicole and Shannon. The beginning of the two of you. I want to hear the back. I don't even know the full backstory.
Are you going to make us do our 30-second elevator pitch?
I totally like went through it all without asking you for one. So obviously, let's do it. Do you have it prepared? Of course you do. Do you have it prepared?
No, I want Shannon to do it.
No.
Oh my God.
No, I do not have one prepared.
Okay, we have to do it now. Sorry.
I've been waiting for my moment to do this.
I basically just said it in a very long, drawn out way. This is why I have my guests do it in 30 seconds, because I don't know how to do anything in 30 seconds. Are you ready? On your mark? I'm not going to let you think about it. On your mark, get set, go.
We are Nicole and Shannon, and we met on Bumble almost 6 years ago. Shannon is the first woman that I have ever dated, and I fell in love with her, married her, and now want to have babies with her. But didn't at the beginning.
That was a definitive statement, Jamie.
Whoa. I've never heard that. I haven't heard you say that. That's
you should
it.
Have heard what she said 10 minutes ago.
Uh-oh.
Oh, yeah. What did I say 10 minutes ago?
That you do not want kids because dogs are too hard.
Okay. The 30 seconds, you did it in 13 seconds. So kudos. I knew we were going to get to the dogs because y'all have two dogs.
Mm-hmm.
The cutest little dogs. And well, they're not little. You had the cutest dogs. One of them is littler than the other. And I have been privy and witness to how much devotion you give to these dogs. And when I'll be like, I got to feed, I have to, I don't know, I can't meet tonight. I have to feed the kids and I have to make sure this one doesn't poop their pants. And I have to make sure this thing happens with the kids. And Nicole's like, I have to take the dogs out and they need a bath. And you know what I mean? Like, so this is.
The question sometimes, like, are we too devoted as dog parents?
Very neurotic.
No, I think that is step one. And then you have the babies and then you realize, I said babies, I just made you having triplets. And and then you realize, oh, oh, I don't have the time to devote. So give all that time to those cute little beings while you can, because once the quadruplets come into your lives, it's over. It's over.
That like, would be what would happen is if we decide to have kids, we would probably have multiples.
Yeah.
I bet that would happen.
Yeah. We are putting it out in the universe. This is your mouth to the universe. I didn't say it. Actually, I did. But wait, we digress. You met on Bumble.
We did.
Nicole, how did you end up meeting a woman on Bumble when you hadn't been dating women? How'd that go down?
I always knew that I liked women. Mm-hmm. I was very afraid to put myself out there and date. Mm-hmm. And then I decided when I moved to Boston that I was just going to go for it and I was going to try swiping. So I tried swiping. There were a few people that like popped up. I think I've told you this, but popped up like on Bumble, like would message them back and forth, never met up with them. Mm-hmm. And then I was walking right on Dartmouth in Back Bay, mm-hmm. and got a message from Shannon on my way back from like a really terrible, terrible day.
I actually didn't know that. It was a very terrible, terrible
It was a terrible day.
What happened?
There's the dogs.
Yes, yeah, so I was walking along the street and looked down at my phone.
Walking along the street.
And I was almost home and I saw a message from you and it popped up.
No, why were you having like a no-good horrible day? Was it private?
It was grad school.
Oh, okay.
It was grad school. Just grad like school. Terrible assignment.
You really just quoted a children's book too. Y'all are ready. Alexander and the No Good, Very Bad, Horrible Day. Or whatever it is. I used to love that book as a kid. We used to love that book. Okay. I guess I had a lot of bad days. Clearly. Okay. So you start messaging. Now, wait. Shannon.
Yeah.
You had been living that gay life?
Yes.
For how long? Like, what's your story, Shannon?
I've been living a gay life. I don't know. I think since like 22.
Okay.
Just, yeah. So yeah. That was like 4 years beforehand. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right.
I feel
so you'd been playing the field, so to speak, doing your thing, and you saw Nicole and you were like, hi, and then you guys just hit it off.
I remember running in and my best friend Olivia, she had known a little bit that I like was gonna start messaging women on the apps, and we sat in like our common room in our like grad school like basement area in Back Bay. And she was helping me message you.
I know.
Yeah. So she was really great support. Aww. And then, yeah, so it was just, I lived in a house with 15 other women. Mm-hmm. So of course, I think sometimes, of course I was gay, but I was in the house.
But you never acted on it with those women and you never acted on your feelings with them.
Oh no, absolutely not. I never I'm sorry to all of my
you
friends.
Have feelings?
No,
there were no feelings. I there made that up.
But then fast forward like a week or so later, completely ghosted. She ghosted me.
Shannon.
I was very busy at work. So I'd just gotten a promotion. The promotion was in a new office. I was moving. I was living in Boston at the time, working in Boston. I was moving to the North Shore. I'd been working in the North Shore. I was finishing up a lot at work. So I couldn't like text you during the day. Then when I got home, I was tired. So I did ghost you. I did ghost her. And I'm so lucky, obviously, so infinitely forever lucky that I messaged Nicole, just hoping like, hey, maybe she'll respond. She probably won't, but maybe she will, hopefully. And you did respond. And now I'm married.
Oh,
I think about that all the time. What if you had just decided like, oh, I don't want to respond. This girl ghosted me for like a week or two.
Or what if you had just been like, it's too late. I let this one slide too far. That could have happened. Sliding doors, baby. Gwyneth Paltrow.
Our whole lives would have been different. And knowing you now, I don't think you would have messaged me back. So it was really divine timing or something that you did.
Yeah.
Aww. We dated very quickly, or I would say we definitely U-hauled. Mm-hmm. She would stay at our house, and then we got engaged. How many months after?
8 months.
Oh, yeah, you did. You U-hauled the shit out of it.
Mm-hmm. We got engaged. I proposed first. Then we were engaged for 2 years.
Two and a half years.
Yeah. COVID kind of interrupted plans.
Right. As it does.
What type of wedding we would want to have. And I think this conversation goes into whether or not we want to have kids. Shannon's family is huge.
Oh, yep.
Very, very big. And mine is small. And we wanted to go to her cousin's wedding to see what would like a roach wedding look like. And we were like, if we like it, then maybe we'll do something big. But if we don't, we're definitely going to do something small. That wedding never happened. So then.
What wedding was that?
Maggie's.
Oh, Shannon. Yeah, my cousin had to keep postponing her wedding.
So we never went to that wedding. And then I feel like just wedding planning, I really wanted to be proposed back to. So I was kind of stubborn. And
I did propose
back. You did propose back to me.
And we got married in Acadia National Park, just the two of us.
Mm-hmm. It was beautiful.
Perfect. Yeah.
Beautiful. And I also just learned another thing. I already knew this, kind of, that you ruminate for quite some time on decisions, the two of you.
What decision?
Well, so first you U-hauled it and it was quick. And it was like, oh yeah, I found my person. We did it. Let's get married. And then we had 2 years there.
That's true.
We were like, well, let's see how this wedding pans out over here. And then let's check. So we ruminate a bit. And so hence this little mini series here.
Yeah, that is true. I thought I was the ruminator, but now I realize.
I think you're pretty impulsive, actually.
Okay, I'll take it.
I know, Nicole, that you will act on decisions quickly just because I work with you and you help me like actually pull the trigger many times. And actually sometimes you pull the trigger when I'm like, wait, I'm not sure about, oh, okay, we pulled that trigger. Okay.
Sorry. It works out.
It does work out. And Shannon, you wait. I'm more like you. I wait and think about it. Before we decided to have kids, me and Anne, we were trying to think because I didn't feel ready. I was younger. And I remember saying to my mother, I just don't think this is the right time. I knew I wanted kids. I just didn't think this was the right time. And my mother's response, and I'm going to say it to the two of you, it's never the right time. That's what my mother said. It will never, ever, ever be the right time. And you can't really grasp the full truth of that statement until the kids come, the quintuplets.
The number keeps getting higher and higher.
But it is so true. It's never the right time. So you just have to decide in your hearts, yes or no. And then it's queer family building. So then you got a lot more decisions to make.
Yeah.
So, and I'm here to help you through the process as your loving queer fairy guide. Can we call me that?
Yes, let's call you that. And then Jason can maybe add some fairy wings behind you. Or we can make a graphic.
We'll have a whole social media campaign going with me just fluttering behind you. Too bad we're not in the same areas in the world. We'll be right back.
Queer Family Podcast.
Just a brief interruption, folks, so I can talk about the sponsor of this here episode, California Cryobank, the number one sperm bank in America and my favorite sperm bank because it's where I made my babies. And it is also a sperm bank that offers one of the largest and most diverse sperm donor catalogs out there, which is very important. It's also a sperm bank that really does show up and has been showing up for the LGBTQIA+ community for over 40 years. They offer free vial storage between partners if needed. They also offer a personalized letter for second parent adoption if you need it, which is also highly advised that you still get that second parent adoption. So California Cryobank has been doing the work for our community for a long time. I love them, and you might as well give them a try. So you could find your ideal sperm donor there. They also will be with you every step of the way. I called them multiple times when I was on my donor search, and they were super friendly and super helpful. So you might as well start your donor search today with my special promo code. Just go to cryobank.com and use code LOVEISLOVE for a free level 2 subscription to their donor catalog. Or you can also apply that to a level 3 subscription. Amazing, amazing things. California Cryobank is amazing. And queer family making building is also amazing. So start your journey now. Go do it and then tell me about it. Yes, I love it. Okay, back to the show.
Most tax pros leave a message.
It's Jane. I'm moving on to a TurboTax expert who beat your price. Adam Devine, tell him how I feel.
Hey, tax pro, she's been thinking twice. Best believe TurboTax will beat your price.
This is a tax break. Switch to a TurboTax Live expert and we'll beat what you paid your pro last tax season. Make the switch at TurboTax.com/beat your price. TurboTax full service only. Sign up by 12/20/2024 and file by 4/1/2025. Full details at TurboTax.com/beat your price.
Question for you. Would you rather pay $150 a month or $15 a month to work out with the same high-quality gym equipment? At Planet Fitness, you can get top-tier equipment for $15 a month. Plus, save $28 or more when you join now during our Strong Choice Sale. Our weights weigh the same, you just don't pay the same. Enjoy free fitness training and 24-hour access at most clubs, all in the judgment-free zone. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month, cancel anytime. Deal ends October 10th. See club for details.
Love is love.
All right, so we took a while. We finally pulled the trigger. We got married, started working on this here podcast, and now we still... I keep saying we, like I'm in this. I am. It's like I'm sitting between you. We just don't know. Where are we with this? Let's talk. What do we think? What are your initial, because we're going to interview all of these different folks and helpers who can help us in the queer ways. But what are your, each of your initial thoughts? Where do you each stand on baby making and how you would do it? And when did you first have that conversation? Because that's an important conversation for us queer folks.
I remember my first inkling of like wanting to, I didn't want to have kids before I met Shannon.
Why?
I thought that if I thought I would be single forever because I would just never like come out of the closet, like knowing that I was gay, but never thinking that I would actually come out.
Oh.
And I thought that I would just remain single. And if I really, really wanted to have kids, I would do it by myself. And then after meeting Shannon, I remember like a walk that we took through Boston Common and it was snowing and like we both fell in the snow. And I remember looking at her and just saying like, I want to have kids with you.
Aww. Do you remember that, Shannon?
Yeah.
What did you think when she said that?
I thought it was sweet. No, I did.
Yeah. And then I don't think we had a conversation past that. Like it just kind of sat there. One anniversary, she got me like a really cute little baby onesie that we still have for a future child. We both really like horror movies. And it's Jason Voorhees on the baby onesie.
Oh my God.
I came across it when we were moving and I'm like, oh.
Yeah. Oh, that was your reaction. Oh,
that's no, like in a good way. In a good way. It was like, oh, that's our like maybe future baby's onesie.
Wow. Okay. Interesting.
And that was before we got married. You got me that before we got married.
Yeah.
The onesie. And we also got like a book signed too by like one of our favorite photographers with a potential baby's name that Shannon has now ruled that we could never name our child that.
Oh, now I want to know. You can't tell. You don't have to tell me, but
I'll tell you offline.
Okay. Okay. That's fun.
And that's pretty much been it as far as like, we didn't really talk about kid stuff.
That's it. Until
I feel like we talk about kids a lot.
We do.
Yeah.
I think we do, but we didn't like, I'm thinking of the other guests that Jamie interviews and like they have a conversation like very early on, or at least some couples do.
Right.
Of, like, well, early on, have kids or not have kids.
Early on, we didn't, but I feel as it got further into relationship, we did. Mm-hmm. And before we got married. And then as we've gotten older and older,
you're
in
not
our geriatric pregnancy age, we talk about it more and more.
How old are you both now?
I'm 31.
And 31. I'm 30. 31 and 30. Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
You have time, but also the doctors will tell you you're old. It's true.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But you have time. But also, you know, it is good to start thinking about it. And it's and we are going to hopefully, you know, talk to a couple who's decided not to and who has a fabulous, like traveling, amazing, do whatever you want life that I'm jealous of. Right. So like both ways could be just fantastic. It just depends on what you really want.
I think that's the tough part for us because we could see our lives being beautiful either way.
Yeah.
And I'm going to turn to Shannon because like, what are your thoughts on having kids or not having kids?
I think that's where I am. I think both lives for me would be very fulfilling. I think I've worked with like kids, not that I know what it means to be like a mom, but I've worked with kids my whole life. I love kids. I think I'd be very fulfilled either way. I think I get nervous, like you said earlier, Jamie, about just like bringing kids into the world. right, in general. Mm-hmm. And I think I get a bit nervous because
you can throw me under the
but
bus.
Like one day Nicole will be like, it is my life's purpose to have children. And then she'll spend like 10 minutes with a child and she'll very seriously say, I can never have children. completely serious. I'm like, I can't have kids if you change your mind. Like, yes, every day. Like, because I feel like I'd be very happy either way, but I don't know where you're actually at. And that kind of scares me. So yeah.
Right.
Figuring it out.
Right. So there's some thinking to do, but I think what it comes down to, and this is somebody gave me this advice a long time ago too, and you don't have to answer this, but it's just something to keep in your mind, to keep thinking like, all right, what is going to be the path of least regret?
That is, I would regret us not taking the steps to, and I could feel it in my gut, to like potentially do like an egg retrieval.
Oh, and I definitely want to do that. I definitely do.
Oh my!
I think you're getting old. You need to freeze those eggs.
Right.
You need to put them in a fridge somewhere. I think we definitely, because I don't want to lose, like you said, it's been a few years. What if like it's another year or two and we can't decide? I want the option to decide.
Right. So keep that option open. And that's why science is beautiful. And we're going to interview someone who might be even able to help with the financials of fertility care, which this would fall under that. This is fertility care.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's just go down the path that, yeah, we're going to do it. And we're going to start by freezing some eggs. Whose eggs are we freezing?
You do it.
Nicole's eggs are going to be frozen. And who's going to use their hopper?
Did you see a hot board? What did you see?
Hopper. Like the who's that's that? What Robin, my previous co-host, used to call the uterus the hopper.
Oh, I don't know. I haven't heard that before.
Yeah. Whose womb are we using? Nicole. So we're using Nicole's eggs and Nicole's uterus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. And we know this already. That's a done deal. We know that.
Yeah.
Okay. So you only have to freeze one person eggs. One yes, person's right. eggs. Okay. Good to know. Good to know. And then we have so many questions. Do we want to use a known donor or an anonymous donor? And you don't have to answer this. That's why we're going to interview all the folks, right?
Right.
You can throw out your quick responses to that. Like, what if we do it at the same time? Ooh.
We should. Okay, let's do that.
Okay, same time. Whose eggs are we using? 1, 2, 3.
Mine.
Nicole. Oh, okay. Whose uterus are we using? 1, 2, 3.
Mine. Nicole.
Known donor or anonymous donor? 1, 2, 3.
Known.
Ooh, okay. Okay. Known donor. Okay.
Same. So page. We have a lot of same page.
Hold on, because Orion is like, mom, right here. Hold on. I don't know what's happening. Just give me a sec. Kids. See?
Are you calling me?
Oh.
Yeah. No, he just, he wants something to eat.
Because you guys got to go to dinner soon.
And Anne's in the shower and he can't just go to the kitchen. Is right there. Just go to the kitchen. See, are you ready for this? I don't know. I don't know if I'm even ready for it. I'm like, what do you, I just put a bag of pretzels down. Okay. Okay. You were going to throw one in. What was it?
Okay. I was going to throw it. I asked Shannon. I think a piece of us knowing that it would be me is Shannon has endometriosis. So that is a piece that like kind of takes your eggs and uterus out of the running.
Oh, so it's not necessarily a decision because you don't want it. You don't want to carry, or you don't care about your genetics. Do you care about your genetics carrying on?
No, it's definitely a few things. I have endometriosis and then I also have epilepsy and I'm on a medication that causes birth deformities. And I would have to come off the medication if I wanted to get pregnant throughout my pregnancy. And that obviously has a lot of risks to myself and the baby. So for me, it's just like, there's no need for that. And I don't feel that urge. I don't feel that like genetic, this has to be my biological baby. So then at that point, it's like, well, what's the point if we have another beautiful uterus right here? So yeah, there's a lot of factors that kind of take me out of the running.
Yeah. I talked to somebody who has epilepsy and I think endometriosis like a while back. Yeah, that's a thing. Okay. Yeah. But also I know that you have also really thought about adoption and fostering too, because mm-hmm. we're going to also talk to somebody about that as well. So I know that that's not completely off the table for you.
Exactly.
You know, either.
Right. Yep.
So in terms of choosing the donor, I don't think this can be like we both answer at the same time.
Right.
But I'm just assuming you would choose someone that had similar makeup to you, Shannon, in physical and also medical. Well, you can weed out the bad medical stuff. And get good. That's the beauty of the way we make babies.
Would we?
Or no?
What?
Like pick someone like has similar traits to you? I think that we would.
Physically? Genetically?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Well, I mean, as much as we could.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You say that a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and also because Nicole, what is your background?
I'm half Mexican and half Black.
Right. And Shannon, what's your background?
I'm Irish and Italian.
Right. So, you know, we've got kind of what, as they say, mixed race that we can, you know, a mixture of the two of you would be like the best.
Yeah.
I don't know what the word I'm looking for, but I mean, that's what most of us do. We try to, except me and my wife look like sisters. So like that, they canceled each other out, but you know. Okay. So that's cool. So if we go the genetic route, if we go the, we're going to use one of our uteri's route, then we kind of have a path, which is kind of exciting.
Mm-hmm. We talk about that makes us like a little bit like hesitant to have kids too, is like, where would we receive support?
Oh, you mean like childcare help and stuff?
Yeah. Like not wanting to kind of be on an island raising like our kid or kids on our own.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, we don't really have support because my family's across the country. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Anne's family, they're just, well, her brothers are all not in town and mm-hmm. her dad is old and her mother's passed. So you kind of make it up as you go. We had a little bit of support when Rose was born, when our oldest was born, but then they kind of aged out and it was too much for them by the time Rose was like 3. Mm-hmm. And you find your community. You do. You find them, but it takes time and it costs money in the beginning. So that is a factor, right? Like childcare for some dumbass reason is like one of the most expensive things in the whole world, mm-hmm. in our country. Yeah. It's childcare and healthcare for people with uteruses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Where we just moved from, well, when we were living in the North Shore, in the Merrimack Valley, it was some of the most expensive childcare in the country, which is just so wild.
It's crazy. It's, you're paying a mortgage, really, if you're doing daycare. And yeah, it's true. And it that needs to change. I don't know. Someday that'll change, maybe by the time y'all make your decision.
Maybe it'll be a little bit better for us.
Okay, one more question, rapid fire. Do you have, we're going to do 1, 2, 3. Do you have someone in mind as a known donor? 1, 2, 3.
Sometimes.
No. I was going to say no.
Uh-oh. You're going to have to talk about that one.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. And then we also know that adoption is not off the table. Do you want to go into that a little bit?
Yeah, the adoption piece. You brought that up to me, I think, in our conversations pre-marriage about like not necessarily wanting like us to like birth a child into the world, but why not support children that like need homes? And I think that comes from just your background with your work.
Yeah, yeah. I always feel like I said, like, actually, bringing children to this world, I think, also makes a lot of people anxious. Like you said, Jamie, I feel like a lot of millennials in general, I have this conversation with my friends. Mm-hmm. And I also don't have like the genetic pull. So adoption has always been something that's really like appealed to me. That would be something mm-hmm. that would be like a, if we were to have kids, probably outside of a known donor, probably like the number two consideration.
Right. Because there's so many children who.
Yeah. And I used to work in like the foster care sector and with Department of Children, Family Services, and children who had just been adopted, everything like that. So
would you consider fostering just for fostering's sake? Not like, you know, a lot of queer folks go into it, which is not recommended, like fostering to with the hopes of adopting, but would you consider just fostering because, you know, you want to make a difference in the world and help children out?
I would love to foster. Uh-huh. I'd love to work with children and like care for children and their families in that way. Mm-hmm. Nicole has stated that you would want to, but it would be hard for you.
Yeah.
And I can understand that.
Yeah.
I feel badly like shaking my head no, but I think that it would be really difficult to welcome a child into our home and fall in love with that child and support them. And such a great thing to support them in getting back to their family. Mm-hmm. But then also
you
that
love the kid.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I think it's a unique situation because of like where I work and being able to be around students all of the time.
Right. Let's tell everyone what you do, because you basically work with children who are away from home, right? Like, what do you do? Like, yeah, where do you guys live?
I work at boarding school and am able to like provide support to them during like their time as residents at a school and do like health curriculum and making advising and all those different things that like go into living at a boarding school.
We also live with them.
And we live with them.
We live,
live in the dorms where the children actually live. So you literally are like helping to raise children already.
And I fell in love like having teenagers.
Oh.
A boarding school that I was at in the past.
I know. At our old boarding school, we were like dorm moms. Like you were a dorm parent.
Mm-hmm.
And there'd be kids in our house every other night. And Jamie, I complained about it all the time, but then every summer I would cry.
When they would leave.
When they would leave, I really would. I would be so sad. And then whenever we go back for graduation, I cry.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because you're just seeing these young people grow up and like blossom and then they leave.
Yeah.
All right. So I guess we were moms at a very young age because that was when we were like 25, 26.
Yeah. Our life did a pretty like 180.
Mm-hmm.
You already have kind of a unique experience as pertains to kind of child rearing, I would say, and like being around kids, and you're around a lot of older kids. I'm going to bring my kids to you and leave them with you for like a month, and y'all can figure out how you feel about that. I'm just kidding.
We should do a test.
I think that would be really good for us. We might do one afternoon, and I think that'll be enough for anyone. They're actually really well-behaved when they're with other people, though. It's, like, crazy. I don't know. But we should do that. We'll do a test. And you can, like, take them for ice cream or something. And that's the other thing. You guys, Nicole will be like, because what me and Anne would be like is, we're going on a date. And we're going to go to a bar because we need to go drink. And then Nicole will be like, oh, me and Shannon are going to go on a date. Oh, where are you going? I'm going to go get some ice cream. Like, you're already ready for this.
Like our weekends tomorrow, we're going to a like tubing lazy river thing
and Lake George.
That's
very child friendly. We go to the farmer's market every Saturday.
We're going to the drive-in tonight.
You're already more wholesome than my wife and I are. I like so much more. It's ridiculous. So I think that we have a lot to explore, and I think this is going to be really fun, and I am excited. And I bet you there's so many folks out there. You're not alone. And I think this might help a lot of you folks out there who are still contemplating. And there's so many decisions to make, even if you know you want to have kids as a queer couple. Then the hard part is making the decisions. What'd you say, babe? Okay, I'm almost done, so we're gonna go. Yep, and that's what it is. That's what it is. He lost both his front teeth.
Oh, he did.
It's really cute. Orion, come here.
You should tell him he's gonna come stay with us for a month.
Oh yeah, this is Nicole and Shannon. These are my friends. We're gonna come hang out with them soon. Look, you have to show. You see the camera?
Can we see
there?
Your teeth, Orion?
Smile. Let's see.
They look so good.
He can't hear you, so he's okay.
Oh, yes. That was the blank stare. And here's our baby.
Oh,
our big baby.
Hey, goofy guess. All right. Well, so we have. Oh my God! Look at that face. Look at that face.
Come on his lip.
Something.
Oh, wait, he powdered sugar.
It's Orion's tooth.
What do you do, Jamie? Did your kids ever? And I'm sorry, Rose and Orion. Did they ever wet the bed? In his old age, he has peed on our bed recently.
Oh,
and that was going to be the thing I opened with
three times this week.
how are we
going to handle that?
Handle that with children.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. We do get a lot of poop in the pants in our house. And I'm going to tell you, that's a lot worse than pee in the bed. That's not fun at all. So you got to know what you're up against here. I just cleaned poop yesterday. I mean, it's like a daily occurrence.
God, yeah.
Oh, yeah, in the pants. Poop in the pants. But this is what comes with little beings trying to figure out what this world is. So we've got a lot to figure out. I'm so excited. And I love Goofy Gus just sitting there staring.
It's his dementia.
Oh my God, I love it. So I'm going to let you get to catering to your adorable dogs. And I'm going to go cater to my maniacal children. And we're gonna reconvene soon. And we're going to have a follow-up with an expert in the fields of queer family building.
Wonderful. I'm excited.
So excited.
And then maybe we'll know.
Maybe we'll know. Maybe by the end of this miniseries, we'll make an announcement.
We're pregnant.
Yeah, right. Exactly. That would be exciting. Okay. Well, this has been great. Stay tuned for more. I love you both. Thank you for joining. Goofy Gus, thank you. We will talk very soon. Have a wonderful, fun-filled weekend.
Thank you.
I'm going to be finding bars on all my childhood activities. So you enjoy, and I will too.
Queer Family Podcast.
A huge thank you once again to my sponsor for this episode, California Cryo Bank. Use code LOVEISLOVE for a free level 2 subscription to their donor catalog. And then come tell me about it.
Love is love.
Whew. Well, folks, I hope you enjoyed that episode as much as I enjoyed it. And if you did enjoy it, feel free to listen to another or watch another. I have so many episodes for your listening or viewing pleasure. Just go pick one and enjoy. There's a lot. There really is. And also, if you really do like this show, please, I know I say it all the time, but please do consider supporting the show on Patreon. You're just going to go to patreon.com/thequeerfamilypodcast. You're going to pick a tier, you're going to join, and you're going to get that bonus content. And you're also going to get my love and adoration for the rest of my life. I love you all. Thanks for tuning in. Keep on tuning in, and I'll see you next time. Mwah.